You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. You can get the podcast on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. It's late in the afternoon on Tuesday. We're recapping last night's Heat loss to the Celtics. The first of a home-and-home series. Miami was without Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, and Roddy McGruder, and that was before Derrick Jones Jr. went down in the first half with an injury, and they lost the game 110-105, despite Goran Dragic putting up 30 and doing his best to keep them in it, David.
Yeah, it was really that first quarter where they were absolutely blown out of the water. They had a 19-point deficit going into the second, and I think that actually went up to 20-something points. I can't recall exactly where it was, but it was pretty bad early on. Miami couldn't hit any shots. They seemed like they were running their offense through Horford, and he was getting them really engaged. They were moving the ball, attacking the basket, and defensively, without our two best defenders, really our two best perimeter defenders, Boston really just had their way with everything. And then, you know, strangely enough, Miami was able to actually outscore them in each of the next three quarters. They had 30-25 in the second, 30-27 in the third, and 28-22 in the fourth. So they were able to actually mount a pretty impressive comeback there. Ultimately, I think they were down by three late in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And then things kind of just fell off the wheels there. I think, you know, Boston, obviously, they play really well at home, as we had talked about in the preview the night before. You know, it was a tough win there, and there were some uncharacteristic mistakes from Kelly Olynyk that I think are worth getting into. Spectacular performance from Goran Dragic, and I think that's something that we should probably talk about a little bit more, because I saw a Twitter discussion, maybe this isn't the right time for it, I'm kind of springing this on you, but how after 4 years of being with Miami, there may not be a defining moment for Goran Dragic. I mean, aren't games like this where maybe they're not spectacular and ultimately wind up a losing effort, aren't they still defining moments somewhat? I mean, these are great games. Like, I think if it was any other player, we probably would remember these a lot more fondly. I mean, it's not like Dwayne Wade hit every game winner. It's not like he had 30-point games that always resulted in wins. But at the same time, there were enough moments to transcend that and kind of resonate with fans. But here's Goran Dragic putting up a 30-point game. You know, an impressive effort all around. He's had pretty good games throughout the season after coming back from injury. He's had a great four-year span here. And somehow we don't really appreciate what it is that he does.
Well, he hasn't really had the opportunity, you know. Well, that might not be fair either. The Heat have been in the playoffs. But it just sort of feels like Dragic came in only because LeBron left. And it was sort of like he like kind of jumped into this thing, you know, on sort of the letdown portion of whatever's kind of going on here. And so I think that's part of it. And he obviously didn't have all the reputation that somebody like Dwayne Wade has. And then also, like, these 30-point games, it's not by force of will that he comes out and scores 30. It's just sort of by, he looks around and he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll do it today. and those are kind of like all his, that's every time he goes out for like 27, 30, or 30 points, whatever it might be, it's just kind of because like nobody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. And on a night where like Josh Richardson, Winslow, like all these dudes are hurt, he's just like, all right, like, I guess I'll just sort of do it tonight, you know? And I think a big part of that too is because Miami got into that early hole. They were down like 25-8 at some point after just like a few minutes, and they were, you know, Dragic probably looks up and he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll handle stuff now. And I don't think it's in his nature. You know, we even saw, it's not just his Heat thing. He was this way in Phoenix. He was this way, you know, playing in the Euro Cup stuff with Luka Doncic. Like, he was deferring to Doncic a lot, too. That's just, he is a very deferential player. He's not somebody who, you know, flashes highlights. Like, he'll score, but he'll score with some, like, little, like, shoulder shimmy move that is barely noticeable on television, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Dwayne Wade has got, like, these crazy turnaround fadeaways and, like, these things. And so I just think he's underwhelming in that sense where he's not, like, a highlight reel guy.
Yeah.
But the production has always been there, and he's consistent, and that's why he was an all-star last year. It was just, like, you look down and you look at the stats, and you're like, oh, man, he's averaging, like, you know, almost 20 points and, you know, 7 or 8 assists a game. Like, that's really good. I just can't remember any of those points. I can't really remember any of those assists. But
I did remember one basket where he iron shouldered his way past Al Horford of all people. I mean, that was impressive. I mean, he was able to create space that way.
Horford looked surprised. He's like, "What the hell is this? What's going on?" Like.
On another note, how good would Miami have been if they had gone Al Horford a few years ago instead of signing Hassan Whiteside?
Was that even an option?
Yeah.
It was
Boston. Reported that he had interest here, obviously.
The two ended up being like Boston and Washington, right?
I think they had made offers. I think Miami wasn't interested. I think Horford was interested in playing here. But the Heat, from what I've heard, they were not interested. You know, obviously his
connections. I remember you kind of like banging the table for Horford.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only is he a Latino and with strong roots here, his wife is, you know, from the Dominican Republic. You know, they're connected to South Florida because his dad, Tito, played at the University of Miami. It just made so much sense. And
he could be a free agent this summer.
Well, we've already got 18 centers in the roster. So,
I want to get into the injury part about this. And you mentioned Kelly Olynyk, and we'll talk about, you know, what happened at the end of the game when we get to our Twitter questions later on. But, you know, I do almost wonder with all these injuries, like, who else steps up if the Heat are going to win games, depending on how long these guys are out for? Like, if Dragic can go out and score 30, and look, the Heat, I don't want to kind of get too deep into the injury thing, like, as a reason why the Heat lost this game, I don't want to get into big reasons why the Heat lost this game because they were so injured, and Boston is still really good. Like, they have recently played their way into home court advantage in the first round.
Right.
Miami, yeah, they had a great March, but again, they're really banged up. And so, yeah, we can kind of, like, you could point to, okay, well, you know, Boston made a bunch of threes. We'll get into the officiating at the end of the game. You know, there's all these other things we could sort of talk about, but at the end of the day, Miami's really banged up. Boston's playing really good basketball, and they're pretty much healthy. And with the exception of Jaylen Brown, who didn't play in the game, and so at the end, and they're playing in Boston. Like, this is a game Miami was supposed to lose, and then they only lost by 5. You know?
Yeah, that is impressive. It should have fallen on Dion. Like, that's his role. That's he's built for this as far as his mentality, and you know, it's not like he's ever shied away from taking over games or trying to take over games, whether he was playing alongside LeBron James or Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant or, you know, Goran Dragic. He's always been confident enough in himself, you know, to a fault, perhaps some would say. And so after his game in New York, I expected that to be the case. And he wound up having a subpar performance. I guess you could give credit to Marcus Smart for making Dion uncomfortable. Finished 5 of 14 in 37 minutes. I mean, and only finished with 14 points. 2 of 8 from 3-point range. I think a lot of those shots were open, too, especially along the perimeter. And
The Heat missed 27 threes in the game. And it just, this season, when the Heat, like, the Heat take a ton of threes, and when they miss a bunch of threes, they typically lose.
Yeah.
And, they scored 56 points in the paint compared to 28 for Boston, but, like, Boston made 42.5% of their threes. Miami made 27% of their threes. Like, at the end of the day, you know, Boston was just shooting they didn't score in the paint because all their threes were falling. They didn't have to get in there.
Everybody shot subpar from 3-point range. You know, 3 of 7, 3 of 10 from Olynyk, 3 of 9 from Goran, except for Bam, who hit, you know, his one 3-point attempt. So,
yeah. More threes from Bam. That's the answer here. We'll take some of your Twitter questions after the break. Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features coming out all the time. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Let's go to Twitter to answer some of the questions you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Julie writes in, maybe the game would have been winnable if not for some terrible Kyrie non-charge call and some Olynyk, whatever the hell that was. Still, the guys showed after the first quarter that they actually have some game left, so feeling more confident for the playoffs now than before the game, actually. Let's start with that Olynyk non-charge charge call whole deal. What did you think about that?
I didn't think it was particularly egregious. In the moment, you kind of see it slow down a little bit, and he's still kind of moving his feet a little bit. You know, he's sliding right into a space there, and I think, you know, obviously, as the rules defined, you've got to give the player some room to work there unless you're firmly planted, and that wasn't the case there. So I didn't think it was particularly egregious. I think a lot of Heat Nation did, although I saw some debate about it. So I think there's enough people there to kind of think maybe it wasn't necessarily a charge call. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a weak call. I think there was definitely like a home whistle there. Was he moving a little bit? Yeah, but like, I've seen charges, you know, I've seen that call, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, guys are always moving a little bit, you know, just because it's the nature of the sport. I thought it was kind of a weak call, especially in the moment. I thought it was a pretty weak call, but I thought a lot of it had to do with Kyrie Irving being a star, superstar player, so he's going to get those calls, and Olynyk not being a superstar player, even though he's, like, really good at taking charges. He leads the Heat in taking charges, but I just thought it was a superstar call, and, you know, you just sort of live with that. But back to Julie's point, like, and what you said earlier in the show, after that first quarter deficit, the Heat won every single quarter. And, you know, if games were won or lost by how many quarters you won, the Heat would have won this game. But that's not how it goes. So I actually was impressed by how that fought back. I am hesitant to read too much into it because, of course, they were going to fight back. Like, they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. This team always sort of rallies no matter what or who they have hurt.
Right.
So it's not like I learned anything new from this game. You know what I mean?
I almost really kind of feel like it was more a failing on Boston's part. Like, I feel like they didn't do enough of what had been so successful in that first quarter. And then they kind of just took their foot off their gas, as I said before, and Miami took advantage of it, to their credit, you know, because, you know, you can take your foot off the gas and somehow still, you know, waffle and not accomplish anything. But Miami was able to take advantage of those opportunities and, again, make it to a 3-point game. So cut it to pretty close. You know, as far as Yuli's point there, you know, is he more confident about the playoffs? You know, it's a tough one. I think both of us expected it to be a loss because it was in Boston. And now you have to kind of learn from those mistakes as you prepare to host the Celtics in the American Airlines Arena. Hopefully you get some of these players back from injury. I didn't hear anything about Derek Jones Jr. I think he was probably just taken out for precautionary sake and because he weighs 5 pounds. and he took a full knee from, you know, Kyrie Irving. So I don't know. I'm sure he'll probably be back in the lineup. I'm hoping either Josh or Justice or both will be back, although we haven't heard anything at this point. We do need them. I think that's more to the point, right? I think it's become important, essential that they play there, not just because of their defense, but because of what each of them brings offensively as far as their playmaking, shooting, respectively.
Yeah, I almost think also Josh is more important at this point because at the end of the day, you can have Goran Dragic run the offense.
Yeah.
But you just need that other guy who could score, and specifically you could score from the outside. Like, the Heat they're a streaky 3-point shooting team, but they rely on the three to win games. And so the more kind of streaky shooters you have available, well, okay, like, hopefully one of these guys gets hot and we can just sort of ride the hot hand there. Winslow is good, as much as he's developed from this 3-point shot. Richardson's still obviously the better 3-point shooter, but they've got to get one of these guys back. And from what we're hearing, they are hopeful that one of these guys will be back for the Wednesday's game against Boston. The one thing that I do think you could take away from this game is that for Wednesday's matchup with Boston, to wrap up the series, to wrap up this home and home, if the Heat would have gotten blown out in this game, I think a lot of fans would have gone into the Wednesday night's game saying, all right, well, there's no shot in hell that the Heat win this one. But I do think, like, them battling back in this game, having faced them in Boston the way they did, I'm a little bit more confident for Wednesday night than I was, even when I made my... I picked it as a win. You picked it as a win during our weekly picks. But I'm a little bit more confident about that pick now than I was before the game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think they'll have gotten something out of it, something positive there. My only concern is maybe Kelly. You know, back to Yuli's point there, as far as his mistakes toward the end, there was that one errant pass. Was there anything else? Did he maybe dribble it off his foot at some point? I can't recall if there was anything else.
He may have stepped out of bounds. Oh, he did. That might have been the next game.
No, he did. Okay, he did. He did have a shot. Yeah, I think
he has stepped out of bounds so many times in that corner.
Well,
I don't know what size shoe he wears.
I'd say a 17 probably. But, I mean, he's has some weird Yankee-looking kind of leg positioning there. That is not... For a guy who grew up a point guard... and can knock down to three at almost 40%. I mean, that footing is just really, really weird. Like, he hit one, I want to say, in the second quarter, and then they kind of put it in slow motion to see whether or not, I think they were looking to see whether or not it was an actual three-pointer or a two-pointer, and they showed his legs. Oh, man, they were split all sorts of weird. That is not, That is not Steph Curry-like. That is not Klay Thompson-like, that's for sure. I mean, that's some unusual footing as far as his three-point shot is concerned.
Yeah, he went 3 of 10 in the game from three-point range. All right, let's move on to our stat of the game after the break. It's time for our stat of the game.
Take that for data.
David, what do you got?
Well, Miami, despite the loss at Boston, was able to keep their place in the standings. They're still a half game up over the Orlando Magic for that eighth and final seed in the Eastern Conference playoff race. The Detroit Pistons lost, the Brooklyn Nets lost, and the Magic lost as well, thankfully. So everybody kind of stayed place where they, exactly where they were the night before, and nothing has changed. Obviously, as we had talked about on Monday's show, it's still an uphill battle for Miami. They've got to win a few of these games. At the very least, they don't want to leave it to chance. And I know that we're, you know, that's obvious perhaps, but
Or all the teams can just lose out for the rest of the season, and that's best case scenario for the Heat.
That might be, but at the same time, that's also a little unlikely. I mean,
also impossible because the Nets and the Heat have to play in the last game.
Somebody has to win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Detroit, I mean, they're going through injuries. Like, Luke Kennard's out, Blake Griffin's out. You know, there's a lot of different things going on. I talked about this when we spoke to Philip of Locked On Magic. You know, that last game of the season for Orlando, they're going up to a Charlotte team that may have nothing to play for. And they could just be, like a couple seasons ago, they could be like the Chicago team that rested everybody. They might do the same thing. And Orlando might wind up stealing a pretty easy game on a night when Miami might need them to lose because of their tiebreaker situation. Miami still has to come up with a victory against Brooklyn, which you expect that they will. And at the same time, though, they might be relying on something, and that's not exactly the kind of ideal positioning you want to be in.
So the Heat have this game against Boston Wednesday night. They play Minnesota Friday night. They've got to win. They've got to win. They've got to win both of them. But again, it starts with that Boston game. And like I said, based on this game, I think it's winnable. I really do. But like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Celtics won again, you know, because at the end of the day, they're the better team than the Heat are, especially with the Heat being as banged up as they are. Hopefully we get some news about whether or not, you know, Justice, Josh, Rodney, Derek Jones Jr., all these guys will be back or not. So, but we'll wait for that. In the meantime, thanks for listening. And remember that you could subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. You can connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.